Church, say amen again. One more time for the blessed Holy Spirit. We thank God for this ensemble. Give God a praise offering for our contemporary worship ensemble. Call them the Generations Choir. And they sing to the glory of God the Father, as do all of our choir units. We have several units, as I like to call them. If the president has the Air Force, Army, Navy, Marines, and Coast Guard, I've got the super seniors, I've got the generations, I've got the men, the women, and the mass. Y'all give it up for all of our ministry units. You do know praise is divine warfare, because God will inhabit your praise and chase away your enemies, amen? And so praise is likened unto divine warfare. If you praise him, I dare some of y'all to keep praising him. I double dog dare you to just praise him through your circumstance. Praise him over your mountains. I just dare you to praise him. I dare you to praise him in the valley. I dare you to praise him when the good times and in the bad times. I dare you to praise him when you're up and when you're down. I dare you to praise him. I dare you right now to lift up your hands and say, Lord, I thank you. I dare you to say, God, I bless your name. Praise. Praise him. Praise him. Praise him. Come on, choir. Yeah. Amen, amen, amen. Let the church say amen. We thank God today. I believe there's power in praise. And I really believe it. I really do believe it. And the Bible tells us he'll step into your praise. And so we thank God today for his goodness, his grace, and his mercy. Won't you stand to your feet? Turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Joshua. Amen. I believe there's something from the Lord in the book of Joshua. Amen. Joshua, the sixth chapter. Amen. Joshua, the sixth chapter. And I want to read in alternating fashion these first five verses. I'll read the first, and we invite you then to read in alternating fashion afterwards after me. Now, say amen when you've located the text. I want you to find it in your Bible, but I want you to direct your attention to the screens as we all read out of this New King James Version of the text. Now Jericho was securely shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have given Jericho into your hand, its king and the mighty men of valor. Together. But the seventh day, you shall march around the city seven times. Somebody say seven. And the priests shall blow the trumpets. It shall come to pass when they make a long blast with the ram's horn. Together. Here is the reading of God's divine and eternal word. May it edify, may it sanctify, may pray. I ask that you pray with us on the title of today's sermon, but it doesn't make sense, God. But it doesn't make sense. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this message, this opportunity, this time of worship, learning, teaching, reception. Pray now that you would open eyes and open ears and open hearts. Whomever's listening, wherever they're listening, from wherever they are listening, I pray that you would speak to them.
Speak to them now in the present. Speak to those who shall listen on delayed broadcasts on Comcast and WIMG radio and television. Speak to them, God, through those who are tuning in right now virtually on social media, Facebook and YouTube. God, speak to them. Speak, Lord, speak. Touch everybody in the sanctuary. Touch everyone who's listening. Touch everyone who's observing. God, and I pray ultimately that you would save somebody. And so, Lord, have your way right now. You've been doing it already. But you said we have not because we ask not. Have your way right now. Loose somebody from shackles. Break somebody from bondage. Deliver somebody from darkness. Give them eyes to see, ears to hear, a heart to feel, and feet to walk, hands to hold. God bless somebody. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. And amen. God bless you. You may be seated. We've been on a journey of places in the Bible. The journey thus far has taken us to the desert, where we preached the miracle in the desert with the Ethiopian eunuch. The journey has taken us to Antioch last week, where we preached about what it means to understand the benefits of being a Christian. And there are other places about which we have preached, and there are still places that I want to take you on this spiritual journey. As I said, place and space matters. I believe that. As I said, Cornel West promoted a phrase that has become a centerpiece in academic discussions, a book that has become a must read if you're dealing with social and critical constructionism in our country. It is Race Matters. And yet I believe that the Bible helps us to understand that space matters as well. And so when we look at different places, different spaces in the Bible, I believe that there are lessons from which we are to draw principles and precepts about how we are to live our lives. What is it that we learn from this particular place? What is it that we glean from this particular space? And as I've said before, there are lessons in each of these places. And so the lesson from Antioch, what it means to be a Christian, and tying that into the benefits of going to God for yourself in prayer, is a lesson of what it means to have a deep relationship with God, where you don't have to go through anybody, have to depend on anybody. You can go to the Lord for yourself in prayer. That's a huge benefit, because if I got to wait for somebody to get my blessing, I may miss my blessing. Amen. As I always say, I'm just glad that my admission into heaven is not contingent upon your conductorship. Let me say that again. I'm glad some of y'all don't have the keys to get me or anybody else into heaven, that God alone makes that decision, God's self. Amen. Or is it the lesson from the Ethiopian eunuch that we understand that God, even in our driest moments of our lives, can still quench our thirst, can still hydrate our situation, can still bring water in the middle of a desert place where there wasn't supposed to be water. God can perform miracles. How many of you really believe that he is a miracle working God? I do believe it. So there are many other cities and places I want to take us on this journey. The screen kind of talks about some of those, Eden and Ur, and we're talking about Jericho today. We're going to talk about Nineveh next week, if the Lord allows us to see the same. We're going to talk about Mount Moriah and Mount Nebo. Is the screen able to be put up? I want to talk about Bethlehem and Nazareth. I want to talk about Golgotha and Calvary. I want to share a little bit about Rome and Corinth, and I want to talk some about, I've already talked about Antioch, and I want to talk about the island of Patmos. Now, not all of these places we're going to talk about in succession. So this will be broken up over several months because we're going to get into the liturgical season again. As I put it in the, your bulletin, we are in the middle of the season of Pentecost. I want to get back to that as we get ready to move into our time of Advent as we get in closer to December. But over the next several months, we're going to be marching through these places and these spaces and gleaning out lessons, plucking out lessons that apply to our lives. Today, I want you to write down three words that I think will be of substance and assistance to you as you continue your journey through these places. I want to have you write down the word precision, the word patience, and the word praise. You can write that on the back of your bulletin. Those of you who are at home want you to get a sheet of paper. You don't have the bulletin, but write it down on a sheet of paper and take some notes, because I do believe that the preaching moment is also a teaching moment, that you ought to walk out of here not just inspired, but also informed. And so the lesson I think we are learning about Joshua, the great son of Nun, the great assistant to Moses, is many. There are many lessons about Joshua. One is a lesson of leadership, what it means to not jump out in front of the leader. Joshua never jumped out in front of Moses. Joshua always stood by the sideline, on the sideline, waiting for him to execute the lesson or the direction that God gave Moses. Joshua was a faithful lieutenant. You know the story of Joshua when he's holding down in the valley fighting the war, and Aaron and Hur are holding up Moses' hand on either side, and when Moses' hand were lifted up, there was victory down in the valley. When Moses' hand went down, the tide of the war turned, and Joshua for some reason began to lose the battle. But so it's just a simple statement. As long as your hands go up, you can have victory down in the valey. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? If you just put your hands up every now and again, not to say look at me, but to say look at God. I'm waiting for you, Lord. I'm trusting in you, God. I believe I've got victory. There's a touchdown even before we score the ball over the line. It gives me a sense that Joshua understood his role and his place in God's divine plan for God's people. Joshua never got in front of Moses. Many other lessons we can learn about Joshua, but the one today I want to talk about is a lesson of obedience. But I said, Lord, there must be the lesson of obedience can tend to become trite. We're all supposed to obey God tells us to, but the real question is, do we hear God? And when he speaks certain instructions, do we understand what God is saying to us to do this and to do that in our daily lives? Lord, what are you telling me to do in my marriage? Lord, what are you telling me to do on my job? Lord, what are you telling me to do in the ministry? Lord, what are you telling me to do in the classroom? Lord, what school are you directing me to? Some of my college students. Lord, what new promotion should I be going for? Lord, what this, what that? You ought to ask God and let God speak back to you. And then when you listen to God, the question is, do we employ these three things? Do we employ precision? Do we employ patience? And do we employ praise? I believe these are three key lessons we learn from Joshua as he goes to approach the city of Jericho. And this sixth chapter of the book of the sixth book of the Old Testament, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, the sixth book after the first book after the Pentateuch. What is it that Joshua's story teaches us? And so as we dig into this story today, I want to just offer these three words as hooks upon which to hang this sermon and take away lessons to help you as you listen to God. Obedience only comes by listening. If you haven't heard, then how can you obey? And so therefore, the key lesson, I would say, is putting on our listening ears and hearing what God has to say. There's a famous text in the book of Deuteronomy that says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God." It is called the Shema. And in Hebrew, the Hebrew language, the word shamar means to hear. It's one thing to, how many of you know, you can hear something, but it goes in one ear and out the other. But God, that word shamar doesn't mean to let it go in one ear and out the other. It means that you take it in, you process it, you digest it, you imbibe it, you drink it, you sleep with it, you stay with it, you tarry with it until God gives you direction on what to do with it. Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one Lord, and thou shalt love him with all of your heart. Joshua, I think a key lesson in the sixth chapter is this issue of what it means to listen and hear, listen and hear, listen, hear, and obey. Lord, give me ears to hear what you're saying to me in this situation. Because ultimately it comes to, do I want to follow my will or do I want to follow his will? And how many of you know following his will is always going to be better than following your will? How many of you have ever tried to follow your own will? You don't have to put your hands up. Everybody in here. Everybody in here have gotten something in your mind that you wanted. It glittered like gold. You couldn't live without it. You wanted it so bad. You pursued it even though God said don't. You did it anyway. And when you got what you wanted, you realized it was not glitter. It was fake. It was fake. It wasn't gold. It was fake. When you got it on the other side, you realize it wasn't even grass. It was astroturf. That's why it stayed green all the time. You couldn't live without it. We all have made the mistake of following our own will, only to realize, Lord, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I'm going to come back to this later in the sermon. Precision. Joshua is giving exact details of what he is supposed to do. I believe God speaks to us. Sometimes it is nebulous. Sometimes it is not always clear. But sometimes there is clarity and in the message. And when you get that clarity, the question is, how precise are we in following what God has spoken? Precision, this first point, I want us to understand, and I want you to look in the text. Put the scripture up in verse number 2 and 3. It says it later in the text, in this first and second verses, that Joshua shall march around the city. You shall do it 6 days. You shall go around one time, but you should go around it once every day for 6 days. Precision, and I've already said it, and it doesn't need to be mentioned too much. What if he had only gone around 5 days and not six? What if he had only gone around 4 days and not six? What would have happened on the seventh day? Even if he had been obedient on the seventh day, he had marched around 4 times instead of going around 6 days in a row. What would have happened? The Bible does not give us utterance, but it stands to reason that something would have been missing because he disobeyed the precision that God had given unto him. And I'm just a believer that if we don't follow it the way God wants us to follow it, then we ought not try to follow it at all. How many of you have ever got a recipe from grandmama or someone in the past? Could have been granddaddy. And the recipe called for this amount of salt, that amount of sugar, this amount of flour, that amount of this ingredient. And if you had skimped on any of the amounts of the ingredients, then it stands to reason the end product would have been compromised. This cake don't taste like grandmama's cake. Well, there's a reason it doesn't taste like, because you didn't do what grandmama did. This soup don't taste like granddaddy's. Well, you didn't put in the carrots after after the celery. He always put the carrots in after the celery. You decided to mix the celery and the carrots up together. Maybe there's a reason. Granddaddy put the celery in after the carrots. Point is, precision. God, what are you speaking? Precisely. And once we get it to the best of our, but now I'll be the first to tell you, it is not always clear the precise plan that God wants us to execute. But I do believe at every step of the way, he gives you enough to let you know you're on the right track. Can I get a witness here? You may not know what the end is going to be, but if you take daily steps, okay, Lord, I went where you wanted me to go today. Where should I go tomorrow? I said what you wanted me to say now. What should I say next time? I did what you wanted me to do today. What shall I do tomorrow? There is a certain level of understanding that if we follow him to the best of our ability, then the end product will be what God has ordained it to be. Now, I'll also tell you, even when we don't follow it to the best of our ability, through his grace and his mercy, he may still decide to bless you. I know I'm not the only one who didn't follow the recipe exactly the way he told you to. But still, when I looked up, I still got the blessing I didn't deserve. How many of you know he will sometimes look beyond your faults and see your needs and supply your needs according to his riches and glory? And when you get God's grace, you ought to give him a little bit of praise. Because you should not have gotten it. Mercy is when you don't get what you should have gotten. Grace is when you get what you didn't deserve. So precision. Lord, give me eyes to see, ears to hear what you're speaking in this present moment and situation. It's something all of us must pray for. Guidance. And direction. Reveal to me, Lord, enough that I can follow your will so that I can do what you want me to do, because I don't want to compromise the end product. Precision. Joshua was told one time every day, go around the city one time. I don't know if God told him do it at 6 a.m. or 9 a.m. I don't know if he told him to do it at 11 p.m. or 6 p.m. But he said to do it one day, every day for 6 days. Precision. Patience. While you're marching, you don't know when the next set of directions are going to come. It brings me to the second point. Go put the second scripture up there. Second scripture that talks about Joshua from 4b and 5a. But the seventh day you shall march around the city 7 times, and the priest shall blow the trumpet. On the seventh day. Now, some of us may have gotten a little bit tired, or on the fourth and a half day. Lord, I've been doing this for 4 days, and I'm a little tired now. Listen, I'm being a bit facetious, but it's real. Some of us are impatient when it comes to God's will. We want what we want when we want it, and we want it now. We're living in a microwave generation, and we serve a crockpot God. Can I say that again? We live in a microwave generation. Pop it in, a minute later, it's hot. We want it. We want to eat it. But God said, plug it in, put the ingredients in, and go about your business and let it simmer a while. I remember going up to grandma, myself, grandma, my granddaddy. She wouldn't cook on Sunday. She would cook on Saturday, and usually a bit of pot roast, and the pot roast will be put on early on Sunday morning, sometimes late Saturday night, and it'll cook overnight. I used to worry about, could a fire take place? I used to worry about all of us sleeping, what negative could happen? But don't you know, while I was sleeping, that pot roast was simmering? Don't you know while we were sleeping, the ingredients were melting again into each other, so that when you got up in the morning, there was a different smell in the house than when you went to bed at night. I used to go to church. I couldn't wait to get home just to get a little bit of step-grandmama's pot roast. It'd been simmering all night. She put the potatoes or the rice, depending on what starch we had that day, she put it on the plate, and she put a little cut of meat on it. And I said, can I have some more gravy? Because I mean, you know, the gravy was the best part of it, because it was simmering at the bottom all night long, and it made the meal taste that much better. When you are doing God's will, you've got to wait on God and have a little bit of patience, because what you're going to miss is some of the gravy that God wants to pour on your blessing. Do I have a witness here? The Bible says those that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings as eagles. They shall run and not get weary. They shall walk and not faint. Teach me, Lord, how to wait. There's some things in God's divine economy on which you are going to have to wait on God. Grandmama used to say, he may not come when you want him, but he's always right on time. He's an on-time God. And then I like this part. Yes, he is. Can I say that again? Yes, he is. He won't let me down. No, he won't. He'll fight my battles. Yes, he will. He'll heal my body. Yes, he can. He'll open the door. Yes, he has. He'll build a bridge. Yes, he will. Yes, he can. Yes, he will. He's an on-time God. Yes, he is. Patience is a virtue. Now, normally some of us would beat up on the millennials and the generation Ys and say those young generations are the microwave generations. They grew up with technology. They want what they want. Punch it in, it comes up. Boy, if some of us had Google in school 40 years ago, some of us would be in trouble. You mean I can just punch it in and get an answer and write the answer down? I don't have to read all this. There's a danger to this new technology now. But how many of you know every generation has its problems with patience? It's not just the young. Some of us can't wait. I'm about to be 50. There's still some things I find myself saying, Lord, I want it. But you got to say, Lord, if it's your will, can I have it? And you got to be prepared to hear him say no, yes, or wait. Sometimes it might be yes. Sometimes it might be no. Other times it might be wait. But how many know while you're waiting, you got to keep on marching. While you're waiting, you can't stand still. While you're waiting, you got to keep on trusting. While you're waiting, you've got to keep on believing. Even though it hasn't yet manifested itself, you've got to know that if I keep on marching into my future sooner rather than later, God will open the door. And even if it's not open by the time I get there, how many of you know even if I get my nose to the door, he might just wait until my nose get to the door before he flings it open? Because he wants to know, will you keep on marching even though you haven't gotten the evidence? Precision, patience, praise. I believe that God expects us to let out a shout of praise. before and after the breakthrough happens. Why do I know? Because in this text, the Bible didn't say, shout after the walls come down. Point of fact, it said, shout and then the walls will come down. And I've just learned in my life, in my first 49 years, that if I begin to open up my mouth and give God sacrifices of praise and shouts of glory, that begins to put a crack in the enemy's stronghold. That every praise I utter with my mouth is like a stone I throw at Goliath. I don't know how many stones, but this might be the stone that makes Goliath fall. But if I didn't shout any, I would not throw a stone. But some of us got to learn how to start shouting before the breakthrough happens. You got to learn how to throw a praise up before your deliverance happens. You've got to learn how to throw a praise out before your body is healed. You've got to learn how to throw a praise up before the mountain is moved. Do I have anybody in here who understands that in God's divine economy, you've got to learn how to praise Him before the walls come down? You've got to learn how to praise Him before the body gets healed. You've got to learn how to praise Him before you get the promotion. You've got to learn how to praise Him before you get the new job. You've got to learn how to praise Him before you get your admission ticket. You've got to learn how to praise Him, how to open your mouth, say thank you, Lord, how to lift up your hands and say I bless you, Lord. Open up your praise. Before you're in it right now. You're marching right now. But I dare you to start praising Him right now. I dare you to open up your mouth right now. Before it happens. Before. Right now. The Bible says that after Joshua marched down around the city once for 6 days, he and the others marched around 7 times. Can I get a witness? 7 times on the 7th day. That's number one. I gotta go 6 more times. That's number two. I gotta keep marching. That's number three. I gotta keep marching. That's number four. I gotta keep marching. That's number five. I gotta keep marching. That's number six. I gotta keep marching. That's number seven. And when I went around 7 times, I began to shout, shout, shout. Shout, 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 shout it out, shout it out. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Shout. Shout it in the morning. Shout it in the noonday. Shout it in the evening. Shout. I don't care what the stronghold is. I don't care how high the mountain is. I don't care how low the valley is. I don't care how sick the body is. I don't care how many devils you got around you. I don't care how many demons are coming at you. Shout! Everybody standing to their feet. Everybody standing to their feet. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, I thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the message today. It doesn't make sense, God. But if you told me to do it, I'm going to do it. It doesn't make sense, God. But if you told me to say it, I'm going to say it. If they laugh at me, let them laugh. If they ridicule me, let them ridicule me. If they let me go, let me go. I got to do what you called me to do. It doesn't make sense. But I'm trusting you in the midst of it all. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for Joshua. Thank you for this young warrior who puts you first in all things. Thank you, Lord. Fight the battle. Bring the walls down. Bring them down, Lord. Bring them down. Somebody right now is praying for the walls to come down. The walls of hate. The walls of embarrassment, the walls of jealousy, the walls of vengeance, the walls of venom, the walls of vindictiveness. Lord, bring them down right now, God, so that your people might be free to follow your will and your will alone. If there's anyone here, Lord, who needed this word, oh, I pray that you would draw them out of their seat. Bring them forward, God, in the name of Jesus. I bless your name right now. In Jesus' name, let the people say amen, amen, and amen. Give God some praise up in this place. Deacons, clergy, deaconess, help me extend the invitation. Yes, we do, Lord. We worship. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. You alone. You alone are worthy. Oh, I bless you, God. I bless your name. Thank you, Lord. Ah, thank you, Lord. All the glory belongs to you. Thank you, Lord. Ah, we bless you. Yes, we do. Yes, we do. Yes, we do. Yes, we do. Have your way. Let your will be done, God, in the name of Jesus. Keep singing. Keep singing, choir. Come on, keep singing. Come on, give God the praise. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Stay right there. Hum it to yourself, choir. If you are on the verge of coming out of your seat, I want you to let go and let God. Maybe the Lord has been wrestling with you on something, and God wants to know today, are you going to listen to me? Are you going to be precise? Are you going to be patient? Are you going to praise me before you get the deliverance? And so if that's you today and you're still in your seat, this is not about embarrassment. Forget about everybody around you. This is about God having God's way. And so I want you to bring some walls down in your life. Does anybody need to bring some walls down? Let go and let God. Look at God today. Come on, sister. Look at God today. Somebody give the Lord a praise offering. God bless you, dear. God bless you. She's coming out of that seat. Come on, put your hands together. Give the sister a hand of encouragement. Isn't that beautiful? Anybody else today? Anybody else today? This is your day. This is your day of deliverance, your day of breakthrough, your day to have the walls come down. Anyone else today? Anyone else? Go ahead, choir. Go ahead and take it into word now. We worship. Yes, we do. Yes, we do. One more time. We give.
We give you all the glory.
Yes, Lord, all of it belongs to you. You may be seated. Put your hands together and give the Lord a praise. Do better than that. On this second Sunday, give him your best praise. Give him a good praise. A great God deserves great praise. In the name of Jesus. God bless you. God keep you. It's our prayer. Deacons and deaconess, clergy, you may take your seat as well. These men and women did not stand for former fashion.